If there's a lesson, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In this scripture lesson, you have a very miserable start. Horrible thing. Which our catechism picks up on when it says, what are the three things necessary for us to live and die happily in this comfort that is given to us, that we know that Jesus has saved us? And what are those three things? First, the great sin and misery that have been ours. Great sin and misery, so much that we are dead, or were dead. We were dead in our sins and miseries. And it's a terrible thing. We were under the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. And I'm going to give you an example of how that works. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, is also trying to get us back. Wants to grab us back. So, I was saying the 103rd Psalm the other day concerning a disability I had, and I started out saying this: bless the Lord, O my soul. And I heard a voice that said, oh no, not this again. Where did that come from? It didn't come in my ear, it was in my head. And that voice came from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. He's still active, even after something good happened to us. St. Paul speaks to the Gentiles first. You know, most of us, I believe, are Gentiles, not Jewish. And then he joins in with the Jewish people next, saying all of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh. It reminds me of what St. Paul said in Romans. He quoted one of the Psalms in saying that there is none righteous, no, not one. And he said later on there, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's our natural condition, sinning, falling short of the glory of God. That's the misery, the sin and the misery. Here's the good news. But God, who is rich, God is rich. And what is he rich in? He is rich in mercy. You know, when somebody shows you some mercy, say you did something wrong against the law, you went to court, and the judge looks at you and says, I see that you're sorrowful for this thing that you did. And so instead of giving you 5 years in prison, I'm going to give you 5 months of probation. Ooh, that's mercy. Well, God is rich in mercy out of the great love that he loved us with. Some of you may think, God can't love me. A Christian worker went to a prison once and asked to pray for one of the prisoners. And he said, don't pray for me. I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it. But all of us have been dead. So none of us was worth it. None of us were worth it. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins. And I didn't coach Carol about the funeral parlor in here. But you know, when you go to a funeral parlor, you see the dead body. The dead body can do nothing. It can't speak, it can't move, it can't speak to you. I know there were stories about how during a funeral service, some dead body sat up and scared everybody to death. But that, what they said, was a result of the muscles contracting. Maybe they were just stories, but normally, a dead body can do nothing. And so when we were dead, we could do nothing. But God raised us from the dead. Hallelujah. He raised us in his great love and his mercy. Even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And not only that, but he elevated us to the heavenly places. Of course, we still read the same horrible news in the newspaper, but there's a difference. In Jesus Christ, we are elevated to a high place where God is. He's raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come he might show us. And now here he really gets into the superlative. And by the way, this is your future. If you are a part of Jesus Christ, this is your future. Immeasurable riches of God's grace are your future. Immeasurable. You can't measure it. And their riches so great that God is going to, at that point, show his mercy, his kindness to you. You know, when somebody shows you a kindness, be whatever it is, you feel good about that, don't you? Well, God is going to show kindness to you, which will make you feel good for the rest of eternity in Christ Jesus. Now here, I passed over it a little bit, but here we have the detail of it. For by grace are you saved. It is not of yourselves. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. We were dead. Spiritually dead, we couldn't earn it at all. And so God, in his mercy, raised us from the dead and gave us this gift by his grace that we have been saved. It's not the result of our works. So that no one can boast, no one can say, oh, look how good I am, and look at that. Remember the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. The publican is the tax collector that everybody hated. And the Pharisee says, oh, I thank you, God, that I'm so good, that I do all these great things, and much better than that sinful publican over there. And the publican doesn't dare to look up to heaven, but bows his head and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, which one went home justified? It was the poor sinner who confessed his sin. He went home justified. Not of works, lest any man should boast, but by this gift of God, we have salvation, we've been raised from the dead, and we have a great future. And that's the grace part of this. In Heidelberg Catechism, it was summarized by guilt, grace. Anybody know the third part? Gratitude. There's where the good works come in. They follow in gratitude for what God has done. For we are what He, God, has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. And chapters 4, 5, 6 tell about those good works. And I have to tell you about my niece, Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann was told 3 or 4 years ago that she had cancer, she was going to die, unless they took out certain unmentionable parts in a church service, down, you know. And So she said, this was at Stanford University Cancer Clinic, which is supposed to be one of the best. So she said, I want a second opinion. So she went to Texas. And Texas, the place in Texas was supposed to be the best in the country. So she went in and her husband went with her and he said, it looked like the Pool of Siloam as he imagined it. People lying around on cots all over the place. She went through the tests and they said, yes, the diagnosis was correct. She went home, turned off the television, radio, internet, wasn't on the telephone at all, did two things. She prayed and she read the scriptures. And sometime during that period when she prayed and read the scriptures, she went to a little old church nearby to her, and the people asked her how she was, and she told them about her cancer. And they said, we want to pray for you. So they gathered round, laid hands on her, and prayed. And that was nice. She went home. And then a little while later, she went back for another exam that she was scheduled for at Stanford. And then when the results came in, the person said to her, we cannot believe this. There is no cancer left. Well, at my brother's funeral, who was her father, a couple of months ago, after the funeral, during the repa, is that how you say it? She went around telling small groups, or asking them the question, did I ever tell you about my healing? And then she told this story. And then she'd say, Jesus, my Lord and Savior, healed me. Would you like to know about him? And I was so impressed with what she was doing. And I thought about that. I haven't shared my testimony in a long time. And I'm reading this lesson that I'm raised from the dead. Isn't that something worth sharing amongst other people? And then I thought of Aunt Sylvia's car and the teenagers yelling out, dig out, Grandma. And I put the two together and I said, oh, dig out, Frank Ackerman, and get busy sharing with people. And so being shy, it was a little hard, but I started and did it a few times and I found out it was great fun. And who knows when that message of the gospel will reach inside the heart. You remember what St. Paul said, I plant the seed, somebody else waters, and God gives the increase sometime down the road. So I recommend this to you. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will grant that this word will abide in our hearts and bear fruit. We pray in Jesus' name.